Hello, everyone, and welcome to All of the Above, the podcast where we wanted to talk about books and podcasts and pastoral ministry, so we just decided that we were going to do all of the above. My name is Jonathan Franklin. I'm joined today by Aaron Markham. We're coming at you live from his office, so if it sounds like the big light is on, that is the case.
Yeah, my office is not as vibey as Trevor's office where we normally record, but I like my office a lot more. We actually have the overhead light on. You can read a book in here. You can see what's in front of you. You don't have to just be reading on a screen. You can have a physical book because you can actually read because the light is on.
It is nice not to have to like squint at the computer screen because it's so bright this time.
I know. Trevor loves lamps and doesn't like an overhead light. So, you know, what are you going
to
do?
You know, it is what it is. But I do have a question for you, Aaron, to kick us off. So you are a fan of Harry Potter, as am I. So this question is not Harry Potter themed, but it is in a way related. For those of you who don't know, the Hogwarts letter is delivered by owl. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, how many owls would you have to see in a day before you started to get concerned
that something was going on?
Yeah,
that's a great question. I do love Harry Potter. My wife is especially a big fan. I enjoy the movies. I enjoy the books. Anytime I watch the movies at this point, I'm definitely falling asleep because I've seen them too many times. Golly, how many owls? Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've only ever seen like one singular owl at a time. I saw an owl pretty recently at the Greenville Zoo, but you know, obviously it's supposed to be there. I don't know, probably like three or four. And I would start being like, what is going on here? Yeah, if the owls were like posted up on the utility line out here. I was out jogging the other day and saw like a huge hawk or something. And I was just concerned with one hawk. So maybe just one owl would be concerning for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think for me, it'd have to be the number I saw at a time. If I saw like three or four instances of one owl, I don't think I'd be as concerned as if I saw three or four at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That makes sense.
Anyway, on to the real topic.
I love it. And I love that you've had this question sitting on you for a number of weeks now.
Yeah, it's been cooking. I got like three or four more in the bank.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good. So on to today's topic of conversation. As a staff, we have been reading the book, The Trellis and the Vine. We've thought it's been very helpful as we think through it and talk through it, the things we agree with, the things we are pushing back on. So we thought it'd be helpful to discuss it on the podcast. So Aaron, do you mind giving us a overview of Trellis and the Vine and what the authors are arguing for?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like when Trevor described the Trellis and the Vine a number of weeks ago, I was like, he didn't seem to, you know, we don't have green thumbs in here. I don't know if we're the most, you know, astute with raising a vine, but essentially the argument is that there, if you, you know, are out, where vines are growing or you want to grow a vine, you would build a trellis being a generally like a wooden structure that then when you plant this vine on, it can grow around. And so the point is you're trying to grow a vine. That's the beautiful kind of endearing thing that you're running after. But the trellis is merely there to be a structure so that the vine can grow. The vine, for it to go up, needs something to grow on. It can't just pop up out of the ground. It's, you know, not a tree or a bush in that way. So it needs a structure. But it would not make sense for a gardener to spend all his time tending the trellis, fixing the trellis, making the trellis look beautiful and more and more beautiful and beautiful and beautiful. The goal is to see the vine grow. So then the picture for the church is essentially the trellis is the structures, you know, kind of the administration, the organization of a church's existence. Whereas the vine is the kind of actual work of gospel ministry. They helpfully kind of talk about, you know, vine work being, there's two authors, Colin Marshall and Tony Payne. The book is The Trellis and the Vine, The Ministry Mind Shift That Changes Everything. They talk about the vine being essentially, any church is a mixture of trellis and vine. The vine is the basic work of any Christian ministry is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of God's Spirit and to see people converted, changed, and grow to maturity in that gospel. That's the work of planting, watering, fertilizing, and tending the vine. So essentially, it's the proclamation of the gospel. It's serving people. It's caring for people. It's engaging people. It's sharing the gospel with neighbors. It's meeting people for lunch. It's people work. We are, you know, as a church, we are in the people business. We're not just trying to build structures for the sake of having a structure. Whereas kind of trellis is more going to be the organization, the programs, the buildings kind of behind the vine. So the trellis is important. It gives framework for the vine to grow. Christian ministries, you know, need structure, need support. The authors talk about, you know, you got to have somewhere to meet. You got to have some Bibles to read from. So even just the physical printing of a Bible, like somebody had to get it made up, print it. You had to buy it. You know, somebody had to go through the work of getting it to where it needed to be. You know, you have structures of leadership. So there's kind of management, there's finances, there's infrastructure that go into the trellis. But then the vine work is kind of gospel ministry.
Yeah. And when I first read this book or started reading, I was like, is this distinction even helpful? Mm-hmm. Like, is it helpful to make, to distinguish between like trellis work and vine work, as the authors call it. And I do think it is, because they talk about how trellis work can be useful and is necessary. Mm-hmm. But vine work is the ultimate, like the pinnacle of what we should be seeking. So what have you found helpful about this book and that distinction?
Yeah, I think just being reminded that the emphasis is on evangelism and discipleship. Like for our church, we have serve teams that serve on Sunday mornings, and it's great and it's amazing. But the serve teams are not there to just exist and be a kind of an entity and a program in a way that we can get Jonathan Franklin serving on a serve team because that's what he needs. Serve teams are there to fuel caring for people. It's kind of trellis work, but it's like, you know, our hospitality team is there to engage people, to do gospel work, to do gospel ministry, do vine work. You know, our kids ministry workers are there to pray and sing with and act goofy and be aunts, uncles, grandparents in the faith with our kids, ultimately to do vine work. So I think it's a helpful reminder that evangelism, discipleship, people are the priority, as opposed to, just building a ton of structure, a ton of administration, a ton of programs. One thing you're going to find with our church, and we'll talk more about our church, you know, in a few minutes, but is we are kind of purposefully going to limit the amount of structures that come out of the organization of our church. So we've kind of limited ourselves to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, which is probably not abnormal. But even then, we're not going to build out a ton of programs that kind of meets very niche groups of people. And this book is kind of a reason why. It's like we're the church body together. We want to encourage one another, exhort one another. We want to be faithful to evangelism and discipleship. So I think it's just been a helpful reminder in that way. You know, if people are wanting to just come to our church just to find a place to serve, just to kind of do something, have a thing that they're engaged in, it's like, I don't know if our church is going to be a right fit, because we are wanting to kind of take the trellis and the vine and recognize we're here to do vine work, to engage with people, care for people, pray, encourage, share the gospel, invite people into our home, show hospitality, to really engage with people. I've also been helped in the book that kind of all Christians are to have a missionary heart. I am not a big fan of saying all Christians are missionaries because I think there is something different about a missionary who is crossing cultures, often crossing language barriers, but all Christians can live like missionaries. All Christians can live with missionary hearts. We can live seeking out our neighbors and our coworkers. We can spend time in prayer. We can try to sow gospel seed as we go. And we think about missionaries, it's like they're gonna go to a hard place and they're gonna try to build relationships. They're gonna try to sow the seed of the gospel. They're gonna try to study the word, whether that's with one only they can only find one person, or if they can find 10 people or 20 people or however many people. It's centered around people and God's word, maybe more so than you know, we have a program for every age group to kind of come and be entertained. So essentially it's been a helpful reminder that our church body is to do the ministry of evangelism, discipleship, sowing gospel seed, not, you know, be entertained and kind of have every need met.
Yeah, I thought that was incredibly helpful. Just the, and it was written in a way that they're arguing that if you were to emphasize one, emphasize vine work. Mm. Not necessarily at the expense of trellis work, but in some ways it can read that way. But I do think it was incredibly helpful that the entire church body are vine workers.
Yes.
Every Christian is a vine worker. Mm-hmm. And the goal should not be just to come and check a box. Trevor talked about this a couple weeks in his sermon, or to just get fed and go out, but to come and tend the vine, see its growth, ensure that it is healthy. So I thought that distinction was incredibly helpful. Was there anything, or sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add to that, just thinking through, they make a comment in chapter 2, structures don't grow ministry any more than trellises grow vine. Most churches need to make a conscious shift towards growing people who are disciple-making disciples of Christ. I do think, you know, trellises are important for vines to grow. Structures are important for ministry, vine work to thrive. If you just have nowhere to meet, there's nothing, you know, nothing can happen. If there's not kind of structure and leadership and some of those types of things. But I do think the emphasis on the 206 members of Ridgewood Church, we want to be growing in such a way that they are disciple-making disciples, a disciple being a follower of Jesus. So if you are listening to this and you are a member of Ridgewood Church, we are all in varying places in our spiritual maturity, but you have a responsibility to help other people in our church to grow as disciples. That weight is on you. And I often think of myself, one reason I honestly love pastoral ministry and I love leadership is because it forces me to grow. Like, I can't stay stagnant. I can't just kind of chill and hang out and kind of be passed by. It's like, I am responsible for others. So therefore I need to care for myself. But that weight is really on all of us. You are responsible not only for the 205 other members of Ridgewood Church, you are responsible for your neighbors and your coworkers. And so there's pursuing holiness and pursuing godliness and reading the word and sowing gospel seed and engaging with people and having hard conversations and encouraging and praying for someone and laboring alongside someone. So the encouragement to be disciple-making disciples, I think, is a helpful reminder.
That's great. So you mentioned kind of pushing back on their emphasis of vine work is the ultimate work, which we would agree with. But the extent that trellis work is also important for the support of the vine.
That's right.
Were there any other pushbacks you would have sort of on this thesis?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think, I mean, really any book that is written, just as a point of reference for anyone who is generally reading a book, like, you do have to kind of make a strong claim. So it's like, I recognize, and this book is, you know, kind of, I even kind of wrote down here, it's written to a specific audience. It seems to be kind of focused in on maybe kind of a single pastor model of a church that is kind of well established, that's not in kind of, we're kind of coming out of a church planting stage as a church. So we're still kind of, the cement is wet and we're still changing things and we're still, you know, a lot of the culture that has been established that is a lot more kind of vine work, because we honestly didn't have the kind of trellis opportunities really even with you know, buildings or structures or any number of things, it's still there. But I do think recognizing that there is a lot of valuable work in the trellis work that goes on in the church. So not only from, you know, a staff standpoint, but from a volunteer standpoint. I mean, there's so we need everybody in our body engaging in different ways. And I mean, I could just think of so many people in our body who are caring for different aspects of the church that is does seem more trellis work. You know, there's a whole host of people. We just bought a new defibrillator. Is that even how you say it? You know, in case some major health issue happens on a Sunday morning and the thing's been beeping and it's like Stuart Floyd and Carla Beasley and Abby Massengale, they're all working to be sure this thing is working well. And it's like, that's an important part of who we are as a church, because this is a tool, this is a resource that we have to protect the body in case, you know, something bad would happen, you know, a health issue when church is gathering or when people are here. And so it's like that work is important. You know, the cleaning of the building, we have a church work day coming up. We're going to sling mulch and we're going to rake and we're going to, you know, fix things and we're going to build shelves and we're going to put stuff on the walls. And it's like, those things are important, but kind of recognizing that you are not just to do those things. You are to engage with people, invite people over. I think that's the big thing I'm really wanting to emphasize in recent days for all of us in our churches. Please have people, please engage with people, be with people from our body, invite people into your homes, go to Panera with people, go to lunch with people, be with people, because that's really in the end, again, all that matters. So yeah, mostly just pushing back there that sometimes the authors can kind of strongly say like vine work is so important, and it is so important, but trellis work is also equally important. You know, I mean, I think about our staff, a lot of what we are doing is kind of trellis work, helping create structures and doing websites and buying food and making Sam's Club runs and getting stuff printed and getting snacks ready. And it's like, but all of those things are there done to help the vine grow. You go.
I was going to say, I think that's the important distinction.
Yeah.
Is are we making our building, for the sake of the metaphor, building a beautiful trellis for the sake of being like, man, those are really good structures, and that church is doing a lot of things. Or are we building it in a way that facilitates the growth of the vine, or even emphasizes the vine? So you're not looking at the, man, that's a really pretty trellis.
Yeah.
But you're like, man, look how vibrant and how large the vine is growing.
That's right. And even, you know, even on my desk right here, I have a little sticky note that just says macro shepherding and micro shepherding. And I think it's a helpful point in thinking about it, even as a pastor of Ridgewood Church. There is times when I am micro shepherding our church. I'm sitting across from somebody at Panera or, you know, Culver's, always willing to grab a cheeseburger with anybody. You know, and we're working through things. We're praying together. We're encouraging one another towards reading God's word, towards sowing gospel seed. And there's micro shepherding, but then there's also macro shepherding. A lot of the work I did previously, like thinking about the building when we were kind of working to renovate this space and getting in here, a lot of it was honestly, you know, can feel like drudgery because it's like, oh man, I'm trying to get another estimate on this pricing and trying to be sure we stay within budget here and how much money do we have and all of those things. But part of me in thinking that was like, well, this is macro shepherding our body, because now we have the opportunity to have our own space and do more equip classes and have a great Sunday service kind of opportunity and Sunday night ministries and discipleship and, you know, whatever else can kind of go on in the body. So kind of similarly, I think the trellis and the vine can be helpful. There's trellis work that fuels vine work. So I think just keeping that in mind for all of our body, we need you guys engaged. We need you, you know, changing a diaper on Sunday morning. We need, you know, Miss Joy and Mr. Carroll coming to fold bulletins on Thursday. We need Miss Sandy Camp coming to refill Cheerios and get water prepared for the kids ministry on Sunday. It's like that work fuels vine growth. But I think it's just being sure in the back of our minds, our motivation isn't, oh yes, I've done my good thing for the church, I'm good to go. It's, man, I'm helping serve our body. I'm investing in our body. I'm helping care for the body. And then on top of that, I'm inviting people into my life. I'm getting lunch with people. I'm engaging with people. So that would be just kind of trying to kind of nuance the conversation. One thing I would also add to there is just a helpful language for me in recent days. I read a book by Michael Goheen, who's just like a great missiologist scholar. And he talks about the distinction of missionary dimension versus missionary intention. So missionary dimension being essentially kind of all that we do has a missionary bent to it. So as we work, as we worship, as we engage politically, as we use technology, as we participate in education and sports and art, as we go through our daily lives, as we do members meetings, as we try to equip parents, like all of it has a missionary dimension. We're all trying to bear witness to Christ. We're all trying to glorify the Lord Jesus. But then that is different than missionary intention, which is more of the maybe kind of the vine work, where there's intentional activities to help myself and others follow Jesus more closely. So evangelism, meals with coworkers who are far from the Lord, going on walks to meet neighbors, having block parties for the sake of building relationships. Shout out for our Spring Fling. What date is that? April 27th. We're throwing a Spring Fling block party for our neighborhood to meet people, to care for people, to engage, to build relationships. You know, missionary intention can be seen in church planting or Bible translation or sending missionaries or good news club or good neighbor team. Essentially, this work is kind of essential to the essence of the church. I think about Luke 24, where he just kind of talks about how the scriptures are all bearing witness to him. And it's like, that's what we are here to do. That's kind of the vine work, the missionary intention work is trying to make Jesus known.
That's great. So we've said a couple times that we see this work at Ridgewood. We see people putting people on calendars. We caring for one another well through community groups or our deacons, and the list goes on of ways people are doing this on a daily basis. But how can we as a body continue to grow in vine work?
Yeah, I think one helpful bit for the body as a whole is just trying to manage the tension that we are in right now, kind of coming out of church planting stage. I think we met 7 or 8 different ways in 8 years. And now over the last year and a half, you know, we've brought in 40, 50 new members, 50, 60 new members. I don't even know the exact number. That never, you know, they weren't with us at Greer First Baptist on Sunday nights in the gym. They weren't with us on the lawn at Resurrection in June 2020 on Saturday morning. Us and all the gnats. It's like there was a kind of a beauty, kind of a dynamic of church planting work that happened because we talked about being light on our feet. And in many ways, we want to continue to be light on our feet. We want to be flexible. We want to be bendable. We want to be able to really just serve people. And so I think it's managing the tension of just because we are now a little bit more of an established church with a building does not mean we're going to go start trying to do kind of program after program, built out thing after built out thing. Because in many ways that feels exhausting. We want to leave a ton of space for people to engage with people, to invite people over, to get people on your calendar, to engage with community group, to dive into community group. You know, there's a reason we're going to, you know, as much as possible, keep community groups in people's homes. Like, there's just a beauty of engaging in that way. So I think it's just managing that tension. There's ways to grow. There's ways to, you know, build the trellis out that is going to help the vine. But I think also trying to be sure we're, you know, staying united as a body, trying to care for each other. We've kind of talked in more recent days, kind of the main distinctions we want to make. We don't want to build out a bunch of niche groups in our body. We kind of make the distinction between kids and adults. And kids, just because there's so much growth at differing scales, we do kind of make a distinction a little bit from kind of 0 to 5, kind of 5 to 10, and then, you know, 5 to 12 or whatever, and then kind of teenage life. There's a lot of growth, so we kind of see differences. But kind of once adulthood comes, it's like, man, we see differences in men and women. And then that's kind of all the distinctions we really want to make. So it's like, man, I need older men in my lives. I need older women in my lives. I need singles. I need marrieds with no kids. I need marrieds with kids. I need empty nesters. I need all of the body being the body kind of alongside me. Yeah, so really just trying to manage that tension, trying to focus on doing vine work. We need you guys to do vine work. We need you to engage the body. I mean, there's just people that are stellar in our body that are getting lunches with people, getting breakfast with people, reading the Bible with each other, reading books with each other. We want to see the church really do the work of the ministry in many ways. What do you think? You got anything else for thinking about our church as a whole?
No, I think that's great. I think I've said in our discussions as a staff, and I've probably said it already, but I think we do a good job of trellis work being focused on vine work. Because like you said, the trellis work is important, and I think that dynamic is crucial. We wouldn't be where we are, who we are, without the people who are doing the behind the scenes stuff on a daily basis.
Yeah.
The people who don't get the credit for figuring out why the defibrillator is beeping.
That's right.
And various things like that. The people who are going to build a fence, mm-hmm. like behind the church, various things like that. But the focus has been and always will be the growth of the vine, and yep. to see people make Jesus known and to come to know the Lord.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that's really helpful. I think a few other just like helpful bits from the book was they have a part where in this book, what year was it written? 2009, I think, was when it was published. So it's written, you know, 15 years ago. They have a section on membership versus partnership, and kind of all the rage probably 15 years ago was talking about we are going to be partners in kind of gospel ministry. I still like the language of using membership for our church, but membership does not mean you just kind of belong and participate and you get entertained. Membership means you really are a partner in gospel work. I think about Paul saying, you know, being grateful for the church at Philippi because they have been partners in gospel ministry. So I think that's important to highlight. I also think our church, by God's grace, many of the things they're pointing out in this book, we have the great benefit of the beauty of a plurality of pastors. A lot of what the book is trying to highlight is, you know, the single pastor either as a CEO model or kind of more as like a counselor model who's just kind of executing all of these events and services, or the CEO who's just trying to kind of manage all the moving, spinning plates and be sure everything keeps operating. The beauty of having Trevor, Zach, Jim, Josh, myself, and then, you know, the work of the deacons and work of community group leaders and work of the body as a whole is like, man, there's just, we've been talking about, hopefully there's redundancies in care and in gospel work that hopefully means the body is well cared for in many, many different ways. And again, we fall short. We're continuing to grow and, you know, have to manage new things. Our church has experienced some, you know, people growth. So, but by God's grace, the plurality of pastors, I think, is a huge benefit in our context.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Aaron, for sitting down and your insight.
I enjoyed it.
If you're looking to pick up the book, it's called The Trellis and the Vine by Colin Marshall and Tony Payne. Would recommend it. I think it's a good read. It's a fairly easy read, pretty quick. If you have questions for us or like to engage more, you can visit us at ridgewoodgreer.com. A lot of ways that you can get involved in both vine work and trellis work through the events page, through our community groups. We'd love to talk with you. But thanks for listening. I look forward to talking with you soon.